So you've been a Democrat all these years, but you did switch parties. You switched to the Republican Party.
Not immediately.
Tell us what happened. You did become a Republican.
Yeah.
Why?
I ran for governor of Oklahoma in 1990. I lost that race. David Walters had run against Henry Bellman 4 years earlier.
And he lost.
He lost.
His name was out there.
That's right. But in that situation, we put together and we had a good organization, but we'd gone every place for 4 years.
When you ran for governor, were you running as a Republican or a Democrat?
Democrat, first time, yeah.
The first time as a Democrat.
Yeah.
All right.
You remember David Walters was indicted on 7 felonies for laundering money and 1 misdemeanor. The judge came down and dismissed the 7 felonies. But he is governor, so the party kind of just embraced him, and we basically said, well, what's wrong with this picture?
Yeah, you were very disappointed in the lack of support by the Democratic Party, the hierarchy.
Well, yeah, this didn't seem to matter how you ran the race. So I ended up becoming an independent.
For the next campaign for governor.
Yep. I would have loved to have become governor as an independent. I would love to have reached across the aisle, brought Democrats and Republicans together. So on my belief of what we're talking about, economic growth and job development, I announced for governor as an independent from the port of Catoosa on a barge because I wanted to try to emphasize the need for international trade. Because like I say, for every $1 billion, you create 15,000 to 20,000 new jobs, $1 billion of exports. I was out of politics. I was out here cleaning up my land. I'd bought 40 acres of land. Our first grandchild was born. My wife said, how can we kind of keep them together? Just on the north edge of Stillwater here, when you go back to Tulsa, you might want to go by that golf course right here, north edge, about 3 miles out there. I bought the land on the north side of it, all up and down that golf course. And I gave each one of my children 2.5 acres each to build on. They had begun to kind of look at building. The successor to me in Congress was Bill Brewster.
All right. Let me bring you back to the governor's race as an independent. You won only 23% of the vote, but you siphon off enough votes from Lieutenant Governor Jack Mildren, the Democratic candidate, to allow Frank Keating to become the third Republican governor in Oklahoma history.
I guess that's one way you can look at it, but I was doing one thing, and that's trying to become governor.
And, no, you didn't intend to do that, of course, but that was the end.
I was so surprised that Jack Mildren didn't carry one single county in southeast Oklahoma, not one.
Don't you think this issue to run as an independent is pretty difficult in any race?
Well, I knew it was, but I was trying to do what I thought was best for Oklahoma, pull the parties together, an Oklahoma coalition, so we could do what we needed to do, and that's build a state, diversified economy. I had 6 congressmen. 1/6 of the population, that's 16% roughly of the population in that economic depressed area. But we were building over 1/3 of the jobs in Oklahoma. 1 year, maybe 2 years, I got over 40% of the new jobs. We were doing something right.
Yeah. But, you know, the state of Oklahoma, you didn't have name recognition, did you? As much as they knew you here, did you feel that the western part, Guymon, knew you?
Yeah. My problem was we had a couple of people, as you know, I hate to use names, that people wanted to try to get rid of in politics. And they thought that that person, like Gene Stipe, owned me. In fact, Gene Stipe worked against me. He always was against me. Anytime he could try to beat me. So people out in western Oklahoma thought, because I was from down there, that Gene Stipe would own me. And it's right opposite.
We should say that Gene Stipe was a very influential state senator, and there were a lot of stories about what he did. Some were fearing him. Prince of Darkness was attached to his name, so that anybody who was near him got tabbed,
yeah.
And so you got tabbed, and that kind of happened to you. Is that right?
It siphoned a lot of it off, yes. But I thought I was out of politics. You know, I lost the governor's race, but Bill Brewster called me on December 17th, 1995, saying that he was not going to seek re-election. And that's when I decided, if I ran for Congress again, what would I do? Because I had to get in one of the parties, Democrat or Republican, in order to be effective. I didn't have to go back to Congress to be a congressman. I'd already been one. But if I want to be an effective congressman to help my people and build economic jobs and development, I had to get in one of the political parties. So I had to make a decision. Now, 82% of the registered voters down there were Democrat. But I made the decision I was going to run Republican because that was my best shot at getting a best assignment to do the job that I wanted to be, and that's effective.
That was a big risk, wasn't it, to run as a Republican?
Oh, yes. We'd never elected one. There's one, I think, maybe at the beginning of statehood, Republican, but we had never elected a Republican in that area of the state of Oklahoma.
So the Republicans were promising you a seat on the Ways and Means Committee.
I negotiated for a seat. See, I would have probably gone back on appropriations, but Ernest Istook had gotten on appropriations. The way that seniority worked, I'd got all my seniority, 14 years. I would have gone above him back on that committee, and I'd have leapfrogged. I'd have caused a lot of gnashing of teeth and a lot of problems for the leadership. But I said I'd go to the Ways and Means Committee, the Tax Writing Committee, and the Trade Committee. So if I could get assignment on the Ways and Means Committee and on that committee and on tax and trade. Now, let me say this to you, because every last business in Tulsa, Oklahoma, is benefiting from my decision. And 64 counties in Oklahoma are benefiting from that decision. When I was in that race, I was approached by a CPA firm out of Ardmore. I met them down in Hilton. Hilton's in Carter County, Ardmore. They asked me about 168J of the U.S. tax code, if I was familiar with it, and I said yes. And that was a Indian tax incentive for reservations. Oklahoma, we do not have Indian reservations, but we have more Native Americans per capita than any state in the nation. California has more Native Americans, but a lot larger, of course. We could not qualify for these tax incentives. What are those tax incentives? Accelerated depreciation. If I build a manufacturing building or any basic business, instead of taking 39 years to write off, you can write it off in 20. That affects the bottom line. If you happen to hire a Native American, you have a card that certifies you're a Native American, you could get up to $4,000 tax credit for every employee. You could get about a 40% tax incentive to federal taxes. And why did I say that? You did not have to be a Native American in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You just had to be in that territory. Now, problem was, how do you describe former Indian land? That's the proposal I was taking to the committee. Former Indian land, what I put together was the old Indian territory. As you know, Indian Territory, formed state. The old Indian Territory took in 64 counties, not an Indian reservation. 64 counties have that tax incentive, and we have gotten industry after industry because of the incentives that we got in this area. In fact, Macy's, I think they used it when they were locating in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They were using them. So, yeah, an independent and Republican, but my mission has always been the same.
People had to scratch their head when you ran as a Republican. Come on now. And they'd say, you're a Democrat. How can you go to the other side? How did you explain that?
Because politics wasn't my motive in being in political office. My motive was the mission of trying to build a economic future. Those children and those grandchildren, same reason they were willing to vote a millage on himself and not even know what career tech was.
I know, but many of your people weren't looking at that. They were looking at the party label.
Let me assure you, it was a problem. My mama, my dear mother, had a hard time. You know, Roosevelt, Democrats. My brother, who's a liberal Democrat, he didn't. I had people say to me, you're the first Republican I've ever voted for in my life. Yeah, some never got over it. I had some good friends I lost, but most of them stayed with me.
Who were you running against?
I was running against Darrell Roberts, the majority leader of the state Senate. He's from Ardmore and a Marine, a handsome guy. In fact, I was telling you about the CPA firm that met me over at Hilton, a small town there. They said, was I familiar with the tax provision? I said, yes. But one other thing I added, I said, hey, I've got to beat your state senator. I'll be on the committee, the Ways and Means Tax Writing Committee, if I'm elected. But I got to beat your state senator first.
Darrell Roberts.
That's right.
Carl Albert endorsed Darrell Roberts in 1996.
Against me as a Republican, yeah.
So there you have Carl against you again.
Right.
You had all that. The odds were against you again, as they had been other times before in your life. Carl Albert is endorsing the Democrat. You'd been a Democrat, and now you're running as a Republican. So how did that all turn out?
Well, I had like a 97% name recognition, and I had about a 80-some-odd percent, nearly 90% favorability. And the election, I put the R by my name, the Republican. I won with 51.8% of the vote.
Isn't that amazing?
That's the anchor, but made it.
Wow.
And when I got the last election in 2000, I'm humbled by the fact I got nearly 88% of the vote the last election. I thought maybe I better just walk away while I was on top.
Yes, there you were elected by 51% and then ran again, and you win about 87, 88% of the vote.
Yeah.